suspect that we can all relate to that. Let me pray, because we need courage. We need courage this morning. Father, we ask that you would indeed give us the courage that we need to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, that there are aspects of our lives that need change. They need to be removed. Some things need to be added. And Father, we can look at a video like that and we can kind of dial in to what those things are, but it's harmless when we can kind of just laugh at it. But Father, the reality of it is it holds us back in so many different ways. It ripples out and affects people that we care and love. And it hurts you. And we don't want to do that. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak through both Jordan and myself, that our words would not be ours, they would be yours, that we would not speak from our own bias or for any reason or motivation other than to build up and to encourage your people and to glorify your name. Give us the power to do that, and we pray and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask if you would to get your Bibles out if you brought them. That would be awesome. If you haven't,
this is kind of short.
Get comfortable there, Jordan.
I stayed until 10 o'clock last night, so I need some rest.
Yeah, that's really late for young people. You have a worship guide. This is not starting out well. You have a worship guide. I'm going to ask you to get out from your worship guide. There's a place for you to take some notes, something to write on, and a Bible. If you didn't have a Bible, we were handing them out, and as you came in, that's our gift to you. We want you to keep it, unless you have a lot of them at home. Please bring those back too as well, but keep one of them. So we want you to be writing stuff down this morning. This time of year, particularly this day, New Year's Day, is when we're most likely to think about the things that we need to chisel out of our lives. Or in some cases, as I mentioned in my prayer, some things we might need to add that need to be in our lives that are not. Maybe it's our health. We're probably thinking about our health and our exercise and our diet and how much we weigh and things like that and wondering, am I as healthy as I should be, as I need to be? For the people that I love and the life that God has given me. Maybe it's your schedule, how you use your time. You know, you look at your time and you're thinking, man, I'm so out of balance, it's ridiculous. Or it could be some relationships that you realize are not strong, they're not healthy, and they need to be. Or maybe there's some relationships that you have, you go, you know, these just don't need to be a part of my life anymore. They're not doing me any good. Or it's your priorities. What do you prioritize? Where's your time going? Where's your money going? Where's your affection and attention going? And so this is the time of year that we really kind of reflect and think and in all likelihood, if we have the courage, to begin to do some chiseling as we ask God to give us the courage to face those things. And the whole idea behind change, what is inherent about change, is that we have inside of us intrinsically a desire to grow, to progress, to become better people. That's wired into us. And we all, I think we would all say that. We all want to be better students. We all want to be better spouses. We all want to be maybe more proficient at work, or we want to be more skilled in our hobbies, or whatever it might be. Inside of us, there's this strong sense of wanting to be a better person. And that's a good thing. But the foundation of becoming a better person is a spiritual foundation. The spiritual changes that we need to make in our lives, what we commonly refer to as spiritual growth, they become the foundation of all other lasting, sustaining changes. Now, don't take my word for it. That's my personal experience. As I've tried to change and progress in my life, I realize that unless I'm spiritually grounded, unless my foundation is becoming stronger, the other changes that I try to make in my life, they just don't last very long. I mean, I start out great, and then I kind of fade. I suspect that might be the same for many of you, if not all of you. So the spiritual foundation is the beginning of really the lasting changes that we all want. Again, don't take my word for it. In a moment, Jesus is going to say that, I think, very, very clearly. Now, the question is, when we talk about spiritual changes and spiritual growth, growing into what? What are we looking at? Give me a target to shoot at. Well, in the video, you heard the reference to being that we are God's masterpiece. And that the ultimate end game, the goal is that we would grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That our lives, how we think, how we act, what we say, how we're motivated, what we desire, would be in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That is what we're shooting for. That's what we're going after. And let me read to you what Jesus, he has something to say about when we talk about, okay, in the likeness of Christ, what does that mean? That's pretty broad too. And there's a lot we could say about that. But let me just share a couple passages of scripture with you. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, it should show up on the screen. Jesus says this. He says, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, the disciples, when they heard that, these were Jews who heard the same thing in the Old Testament. What's new about that? What makes that a new command is Jesus says, love as I have loved you. And Jesus loved sacrificially to the point that he gave his life for his people. Love in that kind of way. And so when we think about Christ's likeness, we think about loving God, we think about loving other people in the way that Jesus has loved us. And then listen to this list of what the character of Christ looked like. In Galatians chapter 5, a reference is made, again, another analogy to the fruit of the Spirit. It was an agrarian society. They understood these kinds of metaphors and analogies. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I'm just asking you, imagine 2017 where you had more joy in your life, that you weren't kind of pessimistic, you weren't complaining as much as maybe you were in 2016, that there was just a joy about you or a peace about you. Or your faith in God grew, your trust in him grew. If I were to ask of you, those of you in here, how many of you would like more self-control in your life? I imagine we would all raise our hands and say, yeah, I'd like to be able to control the urges and the temptations in my life better this year than I did in the last. And the reality of it is, we wish for more change than we actually really see in our lives, or at least sustained in our lives. Isn't that right, my friend?
That's right, Kevin. Sorry, I was kind of falling asleep there. Not, it wasn't your speaking, it was just,
wow.
It was the couch. It was so nice.
Wow. All right.
Man, I'm gonna hear about that later. But I think when it comes to setting goals and changing our life, I think that we have all had some pretty bad or some rough experiences when it comes to change. And I don't think it is just one particular area, but I think it's no matter where you've set a goal or where you've tried to change, I think we've had some experiences that have caused us to fail. And I think that this couch right here, it's a pretty good representation. It can help us to kind of picture what we're going through when we fail or when we have a hard time when we're trying to change. And I think the first thing that really gets us is we lack a plan. You know, we sit here. I was sitting watching the Huskies yesterday who kind of lacked a plan. love you guys. And we sit there and we think, oh, you know, it'd be nice to lose some weight. It'd be nice to exercise some more. It'd be nice to open my Bible, to pray more. Whatever it is, we think, like, that would be really nice to do. And so we sit here and we think that in our head. And, you know, pretty soon we're like, we switch from Coke to Diet Coke. We make these little subtle changes in our life. But we don't have a plan. We don't execute on that. And so pretty soon, you know, it's December of the next year, and we're like, I totally forgot that I was trying to do that. And so we lose sight of that change in our life because we don't make a plan. And I think another reason why is we don't see the benefit. Like, I live in a nice house. I'm sure you guys have a nice car, a nice house. We have food on the table, a great family. Everything's just, it's okay, right? It's good. We got a job. We're plugging along. Things are going okay. And I think it's easy for us at times to get stuck with just being okay with okay or mediocrity, that we don't really see a reason why we should work for more because everything, it's all right. And so that causes us to lose sight of setting goals or change in our lives. And I think a third one, really, this couch sums it up, and that's laziness. I mean, I'm guilty of that a lot. I hit the snooze button too many times. I set like 6 alarms and I hit all of them snooze every day. But I think laziness is one that it just keeps us from changing. It keeps us from growing. And if you think about it, like first we had fast food, then we had the fast food drive-thru so we didn't have to get out of our car. And now we can call an Uber driver to pick up the fast food in the fast food drive-thru line for us and bring it to us on our couch. Like that's just kind of where we've gone to, which is kind of crazy, but I totally would do it too. But that's kind of where we got into is like, it can be easy to, or it, I should say, it can be hard to get up off the couch and do something. I think the fourth one, when it comes to change and why we struggle is lacking self-discipline and lacking self-control. You know, we get these thoughts in our head of like, oh, it'd be nice to eat that cake. Like, that cake looks really good. My mom made it, and it's super good. You know, sometimes we lack that self-control. And then it totally breaks apart our plan. It totally brings down our goal. And I think another reason, and the last reason why we fail is because of what's happened in the past. And I think that, you know, a lot of us, if you're like me, you've set a goal, a New Year's resolution, something like that, and then it's December of the next year, and we completely forgot about our plan. And so this happens year after year or month after month. And pretty soon, pretty soon we think, I've failed once, I failed 3 times, I failed 5 times. What's the point? You know, what's the point of doing it if I'm just going to fail again? But the cool thing is that we can succeed. We can work towards change. We can set goals in our life. And it really starts in 2 places. It starts on God's part. And it starts on our part. And so I'm going to hand it off to Mr. Kevo here, and he's going to talk about God's part.
I'm going to hit God's part. Jordan will come back and hit our part. To do that, I'm going to ask you if you would get your Bibles open to the table of contents. I'm going to turn to you what I think is the most powerful verse in all of Scripture. I think if you were to memorize only one Scripture, I think this is the one. I think it says in a nutshell what this is really all about, what change is really all about, how to sustain change. And so, is that a pretty good build-up for this verse? I better deliver here, shouldn't I? Or maybe God should, right? Because this is his word, not mine. So I'll leave that up to you. Table of contents, I want you to find the book of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. And when you get there, you'll be at chapter number 1. Let's all turn to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew was a tax collector. He was despised by his people, the Jews, because he was gouging them as he was collecting taxes for Rome. And yet he has an encounter with Jesus that changes his life. And here's what's really interesting. I wanted to see, I really meant John. Sorry about that. I meant John chapter 15, okay? That's how powerful a verse this is. It overwhelmed me with its power that I could not remember. So, not Matthew. Go back to the table of contents. John chapter 15. All right, so whatever page you corresponds to in your Bible there, turn to John chapter 15. Matthew was a tax collector. I can't say the same for John. He wasn't. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he was the theological one. He was the one that really got down deep into the theological meaning, maybe more so than the other three. But in John chapter 15, verse 5, again, I'm going to say it again. This is probably the most potent verse, I believe, in all of Scripture. Jesus is talking to farmers. He's using an agrarian analogy again, one that they could understand. So those of you in here who like to grow things, dial in. Those of you who don't know how to grow things, just use your imagination. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Okay, God's part. To understand God's part, first, he uses this analogy of a vine and a branch. Jesus is saying, I'm the vine. The vine is what is stuck in the ground. The vine is what draws the nutrients from the ground. The branch's job is to hang on to the vine. The branch does not produce fruit. It bears it. It reveals it, okay? And Jesus is saying, I'm the vine, and you're a branch. One of the problems we have and why we don't see change is because we think we're the vine, and we try to summons up the willpower and the strength to change, but we're not. We can do it for a while, but go home if you want to test this theory out and break a branch off of a fruit-bearing plant in your yard and stick it in the ground and see if it bears fruit. It won't, because it's not designed to do that. It is designed to bear and to reveal that which has been produced from which it clings to. So we need to keep that, be very mindful. We are not vines. We try to be, but that's why our changes don't last. And Jesus says that he says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. He who abides in me, he who remains in me, he's saying there must be a relationship, the branch to the vine. Metaphorically, he's saying to God's people, we must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is where we draw the power and the strength to see lasting change, to see the spiritual growth take place in our lives. But where the power comes from is he says, and I in him. Jesus is saying it's not just enough for us to abide and remain in him, but he must abide and remain in us. And he's making a reference to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's saying that when the Spirit resides and dwells and lives in you, you now can bear fruit. He talks about the bearing of fruit. So God's part in this is that he is to give us the power to produce the lasting, sustaining changes in our lives as we are in relationship with him, as we abide. That is so important. Don't forget, you are a branch. I'm a branch. When we try to act like a vine, change will not be sustained. It will not last, because it's not real. It's manufactured in our own strength. And then we have this incredible promise that Jesus says, I will abide in you, and there will be a power in you that will change your motives will be changed. A lot of times we want to change out of guilt. We feel bad. We feel ashamed. And so shame and guilt or fear drive us to change, but that doesn't last either. Or it's pride. We want to look better than the other person, or we want to do better than the other person. And so we're driven by pride, but that's not going to result in lasting change. There's a new motive inside that when we realize what Jesus has done for us, now we want to change to honor him and out of gratitude for him. And that, my friends, can be lasting. But it's also the power that he gives us. It's no longer our willpower. It's the power of God in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then we have this promise from Jesus. He says, you will bear much fruit. It's a promise. God's whole character is on the line here. Jesus's character is on the line here. He's promising us that if we are in relationship with him, and if we are regularly abiding and remaining, which Jordan will talk a little bit more about, if we're doing that, he says, I promise you, you will bear fruit of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, among others. But then he also gives us a promise the other way. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So he tells us how, and it gives us a promise of how we can't change, and that is if we try to be the vine. We try to do it in our own strength. If we try to become a better version of ourselves, we can do nothing, nothing that will be sustaining, nothing that will be lasting. And so that's God's part. I'm gonna lateral over to Jordan. What's our part in this?
Yeah, obviously God plays, like Kevin said, a big part in all of this, but there's also a huge part that we have to play in this as well. We can't just go on autopilot and expect that, you know, I'm gonna set a goal, I'm gonna try to change my life, and God's just gonna take care of it. Like, we can't just say, oh God, you're all powerful, you're all knowing, you're everywhere, you're going to take care of this for me. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice on our part. And so what we're going to do is we're going to flip over to the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bibles out or your apps out, we're going to flip to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read a writing from Paul here. And I think Paul, what he's going to do first is he's really going to spell out a way that we can set ourselves up for success when we're setting goals or when we're trying to change in our life. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go verses 12 through 15. It says, not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. And so I think what we can do, we can take a couple of things out of here, things that are going to set us up for success first. And I think the first thing on our part that we can do is we can have humility. We can take an attitude of humility. If we go back to verse 12, it says, Paul says, not that I have already reached the goal or I'm already fully mature. And he's saying, like, I haven't become fully Christ-like. I'm not a perfect person. I haven't become like Christ, but I'm still working for that. And so Paul is taking an attitude of humility. He's saying, I know that there's so much more that I can do. I have so much more growth in my life that I can do. And he's really just, he's setting that example of humility. I think that's what we can do in our lives when it comes to setting ourselves up for success on our part in goal setting, is we can take an attitude of humility, knowing that we haven't arrived. We have so much more that we can learn, and we have so much more growth, no matter how old we are. I think the second thing we can pull out of this on our part is remembering Jesus' sacrifice. And if we read the second half of verse 12, it says, I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. You know, Paul, he's working. He's taking every effort he can to become Christ-like. And if we remember Jesus' sacrifice like he is here, we remember what Jesus went through, the pain, the suffering, the hurt, everything that he went through for us. And that should be something that we use, that we say, God, you gave up so much for me. You went through so much for me. I can work. I can work hard on my part too. And I think the third thing that we can do on our part to set us up for success is moving on from the past. And this is something that I kind of hit on earlier, where, you know, I said this is something that can bring us down pretty easily, where we fail once, we fail five times, we fail 10 times. What's the point? But what Paul is saying, he's saying, forget what happened in the past and move on, knowing that God's going to be there with us and he can help us, and he, you know, we can do all things through him. So I think if we do those three things, we're really setting ourselves up for success if we're trying to change, if we're setting goals in our life. Humility, taking an attitude of humility, remembering Jesus' sacrifice, and then moving on and forgetting what happened in the past. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of a turn here, and we're going to go to another writing from Paul in 1 Corinthians. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at what we do once we've set those goals, or once we've put that change in motion. So we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 24. And this was happening at a time I had totally forgot the name of the games. It was Isthmus?
Isthmus Games.
The Isthmus Games. That's a tongue twister.
Second to the Olympiad.
Yeah, so Paul uses these athletic games to help paint a picture of what we can do to work towards our goals. And if we go to verse 24, it says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And there's a couple of things in there that I think are really powerful that can help us achieve our goals. And the first thing is being all in. And Paul says, run in such a way to win the prize. He doesn't say run in such a way that hopefully we get to the prize. He says run in such a way that you're going to win the prize. And I think this one really spoke to me, because I've been running since I was about 10 years old. So it's about 15 years that I've been running, like a distance runner. You know, I strap on the short shorts and the running shoes, and I go pain my body for fun. That's what I've been doing, and I love the sport. And when I thought about the sport, I thought there's the times in my life where I've been successful are the times where I've been all in, where I've made this six-month plan where I said, this is how many miles I'm going to run every single day. This is all the supplemental exercises I'm going to do. These are all the foods that I'm going to eat and not eat. This is how much sleep I'm going to get. I found so much success, even if I didn't run my best time, but I still saw success in the process when I was 100% all in. And then there's been the times in my running career where I haven't, where I've sat on the couch and I thought, oh man, I wish I was in good of shape as I was in high school, which I'm not anywhere near there. I got a couple extra pounds going here. But you know, I've had those times where I think, man, it'd be really nice to be in shape, but I don't come up with a plan. And so, you know, I run once or twice a week, and then I don't run for a couple weeks, and I just have this cycle of where I wish I was all in, but I don't go all in. And I think that's step number one, is we need to be all in reaching our goals. The second thing comes from verse 26. It says, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly, or box like one beating the air. And what that is it's training for success. It's training for success. That's what we can do on our part. You know, it's gonna take strict training. It's gonna take a lot of sacrifice. It's gonna take not hitting the snooze button. It's gonna take not hitting someone. It's gonna take not eating something that we shouldn't be eating. Whatever your goal is, you know, those are really basic, but whatever your goal is, it's gonna take a lot of sacrifice. And we're gonna have to be really focused, like laser focused on our goal and on the prize. And the final thing that I think we can do on our part, and I think it's really important, it's one that's really big for me, is fighting conflicting emotions. You know, there's this guy out there, and his name's the devil, and he's pretty good at what he does, but in a really bad way. Like, he's pretty good at getting temptation out there. But the thing is that we need to understand that we have God, that we can have him there with us, and that, like Kevin said, through him, we can do all things. And so I think stepping into this battle, knowing that we're gonna have to make sacrifices, that it's gonna be tough, that we're gonna be tempted, understanding that and coming into the fight, knowing that's gonna be there, I think that is what we need to do to equip ourselves to reach our goals. And so fighting those conflicting emotions that come our way will help us to achieve our change. And so what we wanna do today is we just wanna give you guys a real tangible and easy way that you can set a goal and reach that this coming year. And so I'm gonna pass it back off to Kevin.
So how appropriate on the first day of the new year to think about goals and to set a goal. And so this past summer, I read a book because I found myself to be, like many of the readers of this book, to a point where I had reflected on my life, things that needed to change. I had written them down. I had set goals. And I started, had success early on, faded at the finish. And that seems to be a reoccurring pattern. I read this book this summer that talked about what was really lacking was execution. How can we improve on execution? And so from that has been really helpful for me personally and pretty soon corporately for us. But kind of with that in mind, here's what I want to challenge you to do this year, particularly starting this week as the first week of the new year, is I want you to think of one big goal. This big goal, it needs to be clear, it needs to be measurable, and you have to put a finish date on it. And let's just take, for example, losing weight. It's not enough just to say, my goal this week or this year is to lose 10 pounds. I mean, you're halfway there, you've set something pretty clear, but you really want to set a definitive, maybe a year, you could have a year goal, you could have a 90-day goal. Maybe your goal would be, I want to lose 10 pounds in 90 days. Well, you write that down, and now that's measurable, it's clear, and it has a finish date. But what we do is we tend to stop right there. And then we kind of just haphazardly push away from the table periodically, or like Jordan said, we go to Diet Coke or whatever. That will not get you to your goal. What you really need to do after that is you need to set two or three lead goals that will help you accomplish your big goal. For example, if you want to lose 10 pounds in 90 days, let's say these are your three lead goals. First goal is that you will obtain a tool to measure your success. Maybe it's a new app, maybe it's a computer program, who knows. But you're going to obtain something that will actually chart for you your progress over those 90 days. And that's a pretty easy one. But once you accomplish it, there's a feeling of, hey, I've got some momentum. That's good. Then maybe your second goal is, I'm going to reduce my caloric intake to 2,000 calories a day. You can measure that. And so every day you can see whether did I stay under 2,000 or did I go over. And maybe your third goal will be, I'm going to exercise 4 times a week. So these are your lead goals. These are the ones you're really focusing on. You're not just focusing on that big kind of more abstract, nebulous, I want to lose 10 pounds in 30 days. You're looking at the lead goals. You're saying, have I gotten something by which I can measure my success? Is it something that I can read that's easily understandable and I know exactly where I am? Have I been really watching my caloric intake every day? Have I been watching that? Have I met my goal every day? Am I working out 4 times a week? Am I actually doing that? And then you need to look at and really evaluate. You have to stay on top of it regularly. You can't just wait to the end of the 90 days and go, well, let's see how I did and step on the scale. No, it's got to be something that you're measuring regularly. And here's the key. celebrate the small victories. Celebrate the small steps, because that creates emotional momentum. This is one of the more compelling aspects of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University for people who are in debt. And he does an amazing job of leading people out of debt. And the first thing he tells them, to me this is counterintuitive, the first thing he tells them is get rid of the smallest debt you have first. Don't go for the big one. To me, I think go for the big one, because that's the one that's holding you really back. He says, no, you need to create emotional momentum. You need to like the fact and start to really enjoy seeing these smaller debts fall away. That will give you the momentum to carry you into the bigger ones. And I think the same would hold true when we set goals. Celebrate the small ones, because that will help you with the bigger ones. Because the reality of it is, honestly, the big goal you might have in mind, it probably ought to be big. It's going to be challenging. Like Jordan was saying, it's going to be really hard. Paul was making that clear in his letter to the Corinthians. It's going to be hard. But celebrate. And then lastly, you have to trust someone. You have to trust someone that you can be accountable with, that they can ask you, how are your lead goals going? Why did you break that 2,000 barrier? Let's talk about that. Why are you not exercising 4 times a week? You mean you haven't gotten that app yet that can help you measure? Why not? I want to encourage you, but you need to trust someone. And if you focus on those lead goals and you have that person that's holding you accountable, and you're doing this for the glory of God, then I think you're going to see, and I think I'll see in my life as well, lasting change. And the potential of that is immense. So pick one goal to start the year with. You might want to, if it's a 30-day or 90-day, whatever it is, that's fine. You can have another one. But just start with one. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just start with one. And then the lead goals that you pick, it's really important, they need to be those things that have the biggest impact on your big goal. You might have more than three. You probably can have more than three goals that are related to the big goal, but pick the three or two or three that are the most impactful. Those are the ones you got to focus on. And in all likelihood, because they're the most impactful, they'll be the most difficult. Okay? But that's where that relationship with God, we have the power of the Spirit of God inside of us. We have what we need to glorify God in making the changes that make us become better people. We can do this, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the start of this year. Father, I pray as a church family, we would set these goals and we would pursue you through a relationship with you, the power that you've given us, Lord God, to become better people, to become like your son, Jesus. And I pray that that would ripple into our homes and into our communities, into our schools, into our places of employment, Lord God, that the kingdom of God would expand and move. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.